Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to TWIM, This Week in Mormons. Very nice to be here with you. My name is Jeff. We don't often introduce ourselves, do we? I think we've failed in that, so I'm
Hello. Hi, hello. I'm Al.
This is Al. And with us today, on this beautiful day, is none other than Jana McPherson, author of There's Always Room for Jell-O, Evening, the FHE book, whatever it's called.
There's No Place Like Home, Evening.
Yeah, so here's Jana. Hi, Jana. Nice to have you with us.
Hey! Opa!
Yes, sir. So we're happy to have Jana here with us today. In studio, might I add. No Skyping in. She's sitting right next to me. And I admit it's throwing off kind of my mojo for the way I usually do business when I'm doing the show.
Jana's got one up on me because I have never been recorded in studio.
Yes.
And it's a lovely studio.
It is a lovely studio. And might I add, never been in here. This week marks our 25th episode, everyone. So for those of you who are our devoted listeners, we thank you very much. 25 weeks straight of TWIM.
And please send chocolates. It's appropriate.
And send whatever. So it's our 25th show, and not once have Al and I been together. In fact, not once have Al and I even seen each other in person since we started.
In fact, not
this.
Once have Jeff and I even once liked each other.
In fact, we've never even met. We met on eHarmony. We don't even know what's going on.
We've never agreed. Not one time.
Ever on anything.
Except for our mutual love interest in Glenn Beck.
Yeah. And Ukraine is fair, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
By the way, did you like that picture I sent you on Twitter yesterday? Is that yesterday?
Which one?
The meanwhile in Belarus.
Dude, meanwhile in Belarus, that needs to be the next internet meme.
I've decided that's my new band name when I start a band. It's a great band
meanwhile
name.
Meanwhile in Belarus.
Janet, I don't think Janet's seen this. Maybe I should pull this up. Please describe it to us, Al.
All right, so Jeff posts on Twitter. He's like, meanwhile in Belarus. And so, like, he doesn't put anything in it. And I reply, and I'm like, what happened in Belarus? Jeff is very politically
you're
savvy.
You're thinking, like, Lukashenko got deposed or something.
I know. I'm, like, waiting for a huge coup against the government or something. And he sends me this link. And so I don't open it on my phone because I'm like, oh, I don't have time to read a big BBC article. So I wait till I get back to my work computer, and I pop it open. And it's this great picture of a shirtless Belarusian with a bat chasing a huge ape.
That's like a bear. An ape.
That looks like an
ape. Gorilla or
something. Little bit of trivia for all of you. The only monkeys endemic to Europe are the ones that live on Gibraltar in Spain. That is it. There are no other monkeys in Europe anywhere. Not Gibraltar in Spain. I'm not a Gibraltar sovereign, part of the crown dependencies of Great Britain. My bad.
Thank you for clarifying.
There's a lot of Spaniards that think Gibraltar needs to be given to them, and most Gibraltarese don't believe so. Anyway,
Jana, introduce yourself real quick. What's your background? What's your story?
What's my story? It's really interesting.
That's my favorite like intro Mormon dating thing where you sit down and they're like, so let's hear.
Tell me about
story.
You.
Well, what do you want to know? Exactly.
That's the classic dating question. Well, what do you want?
Well, what do you want to know? Okay, so this is a first pod date. I'm native to Orange County, and I graduated from BYU, and I know Jeff Openshaw.
How did you get into writing books about family?
About family?
Home evening.
Oh, it was just mainly the first time I'd ever been on an FHE committee was with Jeff. Jeff was the chair. So he, yeah. And,
the book is mine, basically.
Basically. He could have written it, but I beat him to it. No, but he, so we did a lot of fun stuff. But then right after that summer, I went off to BYU and then got called the first Sunday. I got up to give my testimony, to bear my testimony the first Sunday. And then they called me in right after that and gave me the calling to be in charge of FHE. And then that
you
was
had
the
to
beginning.
See that coming.
I know. Never bear your testimony the first Sunday in a new ward.
You lay low the first couple of weeks.
That happened to me once. I didn't get refellowshipped for another 2 years. So
And it was, after you laid low?
Yeah, no, I just, you know, I bore my testimony. Bishop wanted to see me, and they told me not to come back.
It was like, you can't say prayers anymore.
No, and I haven't actually thought about this for a while, but it was a mass calling where they pulled probably 10 of us girls and guys into the bishop's office afterwards. Or it was in BYU, so it was one of the buildings that had one of the conference rooms. But they pulled us in and then said, okay, all of you are in here because you just got called, or we're calling you to be family home evening moms and dads. And there were about 20 of us. We're like, okay.
Is the collective calling kosher?
I don't know. I've never been a part of that before.
I argue that it is not.
Yeah.
it's like this scam. They're like, all right, you've all been chosen to die. You're done. Like,
I know. All of us are like thinking, why are we in here together? What did we do? What did we say in our testimonies? And now we're getting
punished.
Everybody's
whispering. They're like, I don't know what happened.
I know.
The bishop's assistant has found us.
So...
Well, then you served on that, and what? It was a hideous calling? Found it very difficult?
No, it wasn't difficult. It was just having to motivate people and then also coming up with ideas every week. So, yeah, and then I got back, graduated from BYU, and then within a couple of months, they called me to be in charge of family home evening in my home ward. And that lasted for, what, over 2 years. So
yeah. I believe right now is the first time ever, or at least in your adulthood, that you are not serving in an activities related calling.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's yes. Funny, so. Well, I mean, I taught Sunday school gospel doctrine and then Relief Society for a little bit, a couple months, probably a couple weeks, a couple months, depending. But other than that, this is the first time I've never been in activities.
It's a crazy world.
It's a good time. I got called to the activities committee out here. I was the activities chair in June. And they just released me last week, and my duty was to organize and execute on a camp out. And that was it. He was like, all right, good job, you're done. I was like, really?
That was it?
Thanks. That was nice. Camp out was great, though.
Well, and the thing with activities is that it's not even the organizing, it's just the motivating. So this is the first time I've had a calling now that I'm currently doing that I don't have to necessarily motivate people. But then again, take it back.
Because visiting teaching doesn't matter at all.
No, you know. Okay, yeah. Take that back. Now that I'm saying this out loud. Yeah, visiting teaching, Relief Society meetings. But yeah, I guess, yeah. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
It's brilliant. Yay.
So,
I feel
so
like
Jeff,
part of this conversation. What's up?
Well, Jeff, what have you been up to on this fine... We're recording this on Pioneer Day for everyone.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting. Jeff.
It is good.
Describe the festivities.
Well,
if you
they
can.
Are wild.
The fireworks,
now, I
the
might
picnics.
Add, I have been away from the religious world for the past week because I've been working in Los Angeles all week long. So I don't have as strong a portion of the spirit with me right now.
I've been away from the
I don't have the eyes of discernment that I once did from spending a week in Western Los Angeles. However,
I had to go to Dallas this week. I left the spirit at the door.
Which I might tell you was awesome. I had stuff to do in our headquarters in LA, and because traffic is ridiculous, I actually stayed in a corporate owned apartment out in Beverly Hills for the week. It was awesome.
Wow.
It's so dumb.
Loved it. One of the many perks of my job.
It's 40 minutes from your house. Who gets an apartment for that?
Al, you lived here for a while.
And I made that commute.
You were a fool. And no, your commute was down to Torrance, which is not nearly as bad. You just popped down southbound.
I went to Culver City Friday for a couple weeks.
40 miles, if you have
to get to Western LA from Orange County in morning traffic, like be there by 8:30 in the morning, that's you have to leave,
life,
you have to leave at 6 a.m.
So,
6 a.m.
So
to get
hard.
Up there.
So a 2-hour commute, but then coming home, it's nothing.
No, it's really bad then too when you get done. So instead, I just stayed out there for the week, and I walked to the office.
If you started
in 15 minutes.
At 5 a.m. and worked until 2:30, you'd be golden.
There's still traffic at 2:30. You don't understand how it is here, country boy.
No, you don't, Jeff.
I lived there, of course.
You never fully appreciate it, Jeff.
I don't blame you.
And you also lived, sir, in Orange County, which has better freeways, and by and large, we get around a bit better than they do in L.A.
But I drove to Culver City, where I had my office
once every 10 weeks.
No, once a week.
Liar.
A week.
Lies, lies, lies. No, 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 no.
All right, anyway.
You're a fool. I'm quitting. Jana's the new co-host. Make your own podcast.
Welcome to TWIM. I'm your new host.
This is over. Well, I guess we should chug right along with our affairs then, shouldn't we?
Sounds good.
After last week's monumentally epic episode.
Dude, I loved last week's episode. Like, I've listened to it twice, and I was there when it was recorded. That's how much I love it.
Yeah, I've listened to it a few times as well. It was cathartic, wasn't it?
Oh, wait.
I'm stoked for you to actually make a cut of, like, the Jeff on the Street bit.
I do need to do that, I guess, yeah.
Like, I've wanted to send that around to a bunch of people, and I just haven't, like, just that chunk of it. Just
do you want me to play in the background that YouTube thing you just sent me of the Glenn Beck screaming get off my phone to music? It can be, like, in the background.
No.
The soundtrack to it.
We don't need to do that. That's such a great moment, though. Like, I love that. No. I have such a love-hate relationship with Glenn Beck because I love his antics. I think he's just a phenomenal entertainer, and I'm always entertained.
The man has monetized every word he has said.
It's beautiful. It's like the Donald. You're fired? How can you trademark that? It's great.
The man's the visionary. Let's get along today because we have a lot to cover, and we don't want to make you, dear listener, sit here for over an hour like last week's record-breaking.
Our goal is a 35-minute show. Ready? Here we go.
That's not going to happen, but let's go. I'll give a brief little overview today. We've got Mormon myths and legends, something I'm amazed we've never really talked about on this show the entire time, because they exist and they are ridiculous. Also, SB 1070 goes into effect in Arizona this week, and the church has updated its official status on immigration policy, which, as you would imagine, isn't really much, but it is something. Also, some other notable things: Pioneer Day, the extermination order stuff. What am I talking about? And gospel principles and why we should not use it at church to teach lessons and should only use it to teach lessons in private or something or other. And a few other little glorious anecdotes. Especially why apparently flying projectiles are totally okay at BYU now. What's up with that? What is up with that? So, Al, if you would like to take us there.
Crazy times. All right, so Mormon myths. These are... We asked you all to send us your favorite and... We were overwhelmed by the response, and so we found this great website called Holy Fetch, which I just love that somebody picked that up. I think it's brilliant, BYU-esque. So Holy Fetch is a repository of all the Mormon myths that they've been able to assemble. Excellent ones such as, is Cain Bigfoot?
Totally true.
The Catholic priest prophecy about the church, the Jaredite barge in Lake Michigan, temple on fire in St. Louis, like just a bunch of great ones. My personal favorite, an apostle once drank Coca-Cola to prove the church's stance on caffeine, unverified. photo of Joseph Smith found false, hasn't really been authenticated. It's just, I don't know. Well, and I don't think they're quite as sophisticated as Snopes. I think these are people that are just like trying to ad hoc chase down actually go out and verify these. So maybe they're true, maybe they're not, but at least it's a good collection of them. And so a couple of great ones.
Should we highlight some of them? Is that what we wanted to do?
Yes. I wanted to get your favorite.
My favorite? There are so many on here. I just clicked on a random one right now that I want to mention.
Yes.
This one's not as much humorous. You know the classic, the one we say this pretty freely in the church, like it's legit, that the plans for the Salt Lake Temple included space for elevator shafts and cavities for electrical wiring?
Right, right.
You know, and that was inspired. According to Holy Fetch, that is false. What does it say? They say that it's not as much like that nobody was aware of it, and they just said, you know, it basically says that the design was to leave these openings and no one knew why, but just to do it, right? But this says that actually Truman Angel, who was the architect, he actually went all over England and France and learned about technological advances. And apparently even as early as 1887, even the plans actually had it mentioned like elevator stuff. So,
nice.
So it might be debunked a little because apparently they went around Europe and saw that places like Versailles actually had an elevator installed in the mid 18th century. So it might... So there's one. Debunked. Shazam. Jenna, I don't know. Do you have any?
The one about Brigham Young at Disneyland, right? The casket that's in front of Haunted Mansion.
This is particularly famous with locals, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The casket that is in front of the Haunted Mansion in the carriage. I guess that was the Brigham Young.
Called a hearse.
The hearse, but it was the carriage, right?
It was a hearse carriage, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Horse-drawn. No cars back then, I'm afraid.
It's the same one that carried Brigham Young to his grave. That's what they say.
That's been around for a long time. And what say you?
Well, after reading it on Holy Fetch, it says it's false, right?
Yeah, and I've seen this before, that the curator or director or whatever of the church history department says that there is no evidence linking that hearse to Brigham Young. But I just want to believe it because I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I go to the Haunted Mansion, you point and you say, Brigham Young, man, right there.
I was just there a couple...
Here's the other one. Yoda was based on President Spencer W. Kimball.
That's just plain mean.
It is most likely coincidence that Yoda and Spencer W. Kimball both had squeaky, rough voices, tufts of white hair, and urged people not to try, but to do. Someone who worked on the Yoda model stated in an interview that it was never discussed to model Yoda after Kimball, and that Einstein was actually used as the model, along with a few other faces.
That would make more sense, because Yoda had the hairy ears, like Einstein. Am I right? Here's another good one. Did Joseph Smith say that you would kill yourself to get to the celestial kingdom? Interesting.
I believe that's true. Didn't he say that?
This one says undetermined. About what they actually mean or this or that. Of course, the best thing is when you go to the main page. Where's the... Go back to holyfetch.com. What's that quote on the very front page when you follow the link, Al?
Oh, the...
Hiro Bailey quote, which is totally out of context, but it's awesome.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I can't believe how gullible some members of the church are. Here's one Hiro that Bailey. I love. Tora Bright, the Australian gold medalist, is LDS.
And Al's future wife.
True.
Oh, that's all it was?
Yeah, it's not.
Everyone knows she's LDS. It's not even a legend. That's not like in the vein of Steve Martin being LDS or something like that. Come on, son.
Steve Martin was a funny one.
Or Paul Walker, all right,
well,
right?
So anyway, lots of great ones. Hold on. There's some legends here. Let's look at legends. MTC is protected by angels from demons? Their conclusion, yes. This is hard to prove. That's awesome.
Oh, here's another one, good one. Whether Sting from The Police.
Yes.
You know, if he sang Book of Mormon stories.
Did he?
Apparently people thought the voice singing sounded like Sting. I think it's actually Brett Raymond. Yeah, it is right here. And why do I know that? Because I actually have a copy of Primarily for Grown-Ups. I'm not going to lie. I own it.
I've never even heard of it until right now.
I even have an autographed copy of the sequel, Primarily for Grown-Ups, again, which I am showing
wow.
to Jenna right now.
I'm looking at it. Yeah, it's true. That's true.
This man knows how to pull off Doc Martens jeans and a sport coat like it's no one's business.
What year?
I know, right?
What year is that produced?
2001.
It looks older than that.
That's because it is a childish product of Deseret Book. And in the back, he looks like the piano playing character from Charlie Brown, whose name I forget. Yeah. This is a wonderful album, I might add.
Three Nephites protect missionaries from a serial killer.
Oh, that's...
Again, hard to prove. There are hundreds of Mormon folklore stories that involve three Nephites, blah, blah, blah. My favorite Nephite story also involves a serial killer. This story usually has sister missionaries knocking on the door of a serial killer, not realizing the danger they're in. They speak to the man for a few minutes, trying to convince him to let them in to speak more about the Book of Mormon. He's very short with them and turns them away. A few days later, the authorities capture the serial killer. It's often the well-known killer, like Jeffrey Dahmer. Somehow, the police know that he had the chance to kill the sister missionaries and ask why the killer did not allow them into the house. And the serial killer says, I was scared because of the three huge Indian warriors that were standing behind them.
It's a crazy world. Look at all these fun. Oh,
there's a huge like market for these kind of stories.
This one was one of my favorites, and it seemed so legit. Whether Snoop Dogg is Mormon. Did you ever see this?
No.
I remember this 2 years
ago.
Oh,
the CNN April Fool's Day joke,
which was great because they never issued any sort of a, like, hey, this is a joke. They just put it up there on April 1st and let it be. And then pulled it down, but they never said hey,
the Snoop Dogg caption. Can't get enough of the Book of Mormon, says Snoop Dogg.
I know, that's the best one. He's like, I can't get enough of that Joe Smith. The whole thing was, I mean, it's a good thing we have a sense of humor about our church, because I could see a lot of members getting offended with rapper speak about things.
Listen, the haters will say what they will, Snoop Dogg said. I can only do what I feels is right.
Oh, it's beautiful. It was so good that I almost thought it was real.
Anyway, everybody should go and spend a little time on this site. I think it's good just to be a little bit more critical about email forwards and stuff that comes through.
Oh, yes.
It saves a lot of drama.
We get so much nonsense from people. Oh, Christina Aguilera? What? Oh.
Butch Cassidy really was a Mormon.
Yeah, that one's true. What a bad man. Now, can we take that to mean that Paul Newman was also a Mormon then?
Where he's less
probably.
Active, right? That's what I heard.
Paul Newman.
Oh, I'm thinking Paul Walker.
Someone watches too much Fast and the Furious.
I've seen it once.
I've heard that one's true, though.
What about Vin Diesel?
No. Brendan Flowers of the Killers is Mormon. That is true, and he doesn't hide it. That one's true. So anyway, go to read the website.
Good times, good times.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on.
So let's move along here. Now, folks, you might have remembered that Arizona is a state that hates people. And as such, this week they are enacting legislation to say...
Wait, what?
To say, we hate you because you are not Anglo, and we are going to get rid of you.
I don't believe that's true at all.
And as such, they are going to say... Anyways, the point is, as we all know, SB 1070 in Arizona has been controversial. We've discussed it on the show before. And very even-handedly, I might add, if I can pat myself on the back.
Well done.
You even lauded me for my methodical approach.
I laud.
To the issues at hand. Anyway, so I believe that goes into effect this coming week, if I'm not mistaken. Anywho, as such, the church has actually sort of updated its position on immigration, which isn't much of anything, because really that's not a, you know, they're not going to get into that issue like they are traditional marriage or anything like that. So I'll actually read the statement to you because it's pretty brief.
Okay.
Immigration. The complex issues surrounding immigration are a matter of increasing concern and debate for all in this country. Elected individuals have the primary responsibility to find solutions in the best interests of all whose lives will be impacted by their actions. We repeat our appeal for careful reflection and civil discourse when addressing immigration issues. Finding a successful resolution will require the best thinking and goodwill of all across the political spectrum, the highest levels of statesmanship, and the strongest desire to do what is best for God's children. So, really, they said nothing.
Well, they kind of do... Well, like, that's generally their stance with anything political.
Here's
right?
one thing you could read into this, though. They still make the point in a progressive sense to say, finding the proper solution will not be easy. As if saying the solutions offered recently are not the solution.
Perchance.
You with me there? And, of course, it's a big deal because the church has come under a lot of pressure during this time. The guy who wrote it, Russell Pierce, that wrote SB 70, is a member of the church. And there are a lot of action groups, especially Latino activists within the church, that have asked the church to take a more public stance, hoping the church will err on the side of, like, chill out Arizona or something like that. I'm not quite sure. So there's been a lot of pressure there. But obviously, I don't think the church is going to say much of anything. It is going to say exactly what we've said before, that we need to figure out a way to treat all of God's children with the compassion and respect that all of his children deserve, regardless of nationality.
Right, right.
Or legal status in any country, for that matter. So
Jenna, you're a bright woman. What's your take on this immigration hoo-ha?
Bring it to us.
To be honest, I was just sitting here thinking, okay, I've been so out of it lately, I haven't really been following
this. She was actually rolling her eyes while I was talking about
it. No, I was not. I was not. But I was thinking, I'll let Jeff and Al cover this. I'll chime in later.
No, this is more fun. Since you are, we want to hear what you, ignorant lay consumer, what do you have to say?
No, I just haven't been following it at all. So I've gotten bits and pieces of it, but... do I have to say anything?
Well,
no,
let me walk you through it. Do you need me to explain what it is to you?
No, I know what it is.
A lot of illegal immigrants come into our country.
They want to pull their
documentation. Jeff, you arrogant schmuck.
They come into our country. And
you don't have to back up that far. I know what it is. Oops,
you are stepping on my headphones.
Sorry.
They come here, and it is true that we need to solve the problem of many of them coming in and what. Arizona has sought one solution that some disagree with.
What would you suggest, Jeff? Amnesty?
In what sense? No, amnesty doesn't work. The sad thing is, as much as I did not like George W. Bush, his stance on immigration was extremely pragmatic and useful. It did not really pull too hard one way or the other. And it actually made sense. And the sad thing was his own party scuttled his own efforts to take a pretty reasonable approach, I thought. So, knock George Bush, but immigration-wise, I was actually... pretty on board with his idea. General amnesty doesn't work.
Generally,
it doesn't work. I actually went back to Spain when I was back there 4 years ago after our little Ukraine jaunt. And that was after Spain had actually granted amnesty to everybody. Just straight out, just boop. You're all citizens. It was very different. It was interesting seeing it changed. It seemed to change the whole atmosphere and the way where people worked. Like, I went to certain stores, like, say, a Borders or Barnes & Noble equivalent.
If
you remember.
I went into one of, and what before would be very much a Spaniards or Catalans, wherever I was working there, there were like African guys there who would never have been able to get a job in a place like that before. So I don't know. It goes both ways. Depends on your society.
That's why I have mixed feelings about it. So I really don't know how I feel about it.
Yes. Well, Fox News does. And you hate
brown
people.
You can trust them because they're both fair. And wait for it. And unbalanced.
Yeah, but Al, you love Fox News. Let's not pretend.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. Dude, all right, so.
You watch them all the time.
I have them streaming onto my phone. It's true. Okay, Jana, so tell us a little bit about this family home.
Is it time for that?
Well,
please tell us about walk us through your book. She had a gala event for it last night.
I just like saying the name because it requires an is there an ellipses in there? Is it
Yes,
is it
there
like
is. There is.
Family home evening.
It's punny.
Family
can you
home.
Imagine Jana McPherson being punny with something?
I know,
I
right?
No.
I know you have to say that. There's no place like home .. evening !! No, so basically it's just something that I know you guys had talked about it a couple episodes ago, and Jeff had mentioned something about how there are very few resources out there for young single adults, but in my experience, I guess, I've realized that I haven't personally found anything, so I decided just to put this out there as I think it might be, if I'm not mistaken, like the first resource specifically for young single adults. So basically the church, I mean, they've got it covered. Well, Deseret's got it covered with books for families and just in general, and also for families with small children, but there really isn't anything out there for the ages 18 to 30. And it's something that even with the mid-singles population that's growing, the church doesn't know what to do with us. So this is just something, just a small way to just kind of, I guess, help to get people out there too for family home evening to make it worth their while. But again, going back to just being in that calling forever and just having enough ideas that actually worked, or I guess success you can measure in a couple different ways, either based on attendance or even if you got one less active to come. But so I just figured that it would just be a way to help increase attendance and also activity in the church.
I take it you're for family home evening. You feel like we should all attend?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it can also be used for activities.
You should have seen the look on Jess. She was actually thinking about it. Like, no, yeah, totally.
Yeah,
I support that.
I am. Oh, yeah. No, it's really just honestly, enough people had asked for ideas. I thought, okay, I'm just going to put it in one central location. Mm-hmm. And then it's just easier instead of just emailing out 70 files.
Well, because I come from a very strong camp of most singles, wards, family home evenings are terrible. And you should, outside of the duty-driven, I must go to support this, and like which normally wears off after about the third or fourth week of the new semester or new organization.
Totally true.
So I come from this like uninterested in it almost altogether, primarily because they're lame most often,
yeah.
And the refreshments. Our Safeway donuts and, you know, just glazed. And I'm like, come on, people, seriously? So give us a couple highlights from the book of, like, what, in a perfect world, what would maybe a month's worth of family home evenings include?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I have my own opinions on this, but we're going to defer to the expert here.
Well, you know what? Actually, one of them, actually, I want to make mention that Jeff Openshaw's name is in print on
page. Is mine in the book? I didn't know I was in the book.
It's the Make Your Own Movie Night. Part 1 and 2.
No, we did do that.
Name is printed on page 36. I made sure to look that up before. So page 36, if anyone buys it, Jeff's name is in there.
I'm published.
There you go. It doesn't even matter, really. It could be just so low maintenance, but it seems like the more low maintenance activities like volleyball, dodgeball, even people having them share their conversion stories, all that kind of stuff, the low maintenance ones are probably some of the best family home evening. So the point is that they don't have to be hard, but you can use a little creativity just to put a spin on something as simple as volleyball or dodgeball or something just to get people out and excited.
I feel like the spin has to be there.
It does.
In my experience doing it, you did it longer than I ever have, but I felt like you got to make wham bam activities because it's like you said, so many of these FHEs nowadays are these generic. I don't want to say poorly conceived, but you can tell not a lot of effort's gone into anything beforehand. It's just thrown together haphazardly to have an activity of sorts. That makes me not want to go. We get like a calendar put in our program every Sunday of the whole month.
Yeah.
It's a nice calendar. You might remember. You'd get those emails back in the day. And I like it, but it actually, like, when I see FHE and then I see for Monday there's something planned, but even for the week after and after that just shows question marks, I sit there and think, like, so you're not planning anything? And then I'm bad and I'm cynical, but in my mind I just go, great, so you haven't planned anything for even the next week. How good is that going to be? And you're just going to be like, let's all play
Sign Ball.
What was that game everyone used to play?
Sign.
The ball.
Let's play
ball
sign.
In the air.
Scatterball.
Scatterball.
Do you love your
Scatterball.
Neighbor?
Well, no, and I've been to awards, too, where the people have gotten up to give announcements afterwards, and they'll say, okay, family meeting tomorrow at 7. I don't know what we're doing yet, but it's going to be fun, so you guys have to come.
Yeah.
And instantly I'm turned off thinking, it's like when people get up to give a talk, and the first thing they say is, I haven't really prepared.
Or they say, I'm not a good speaker.
Or I'm going to just be led by the spirit. It's like, okay.
No, the best
I just
is when they
out.
Get up and they say, so Bishop called me last night and said, hey, can you prepare this? And so then I fell asleep and just got my topic about 20 minutes ago.
Or I was trying to find something during the sacrament that I could talk about. But I just wanted to say that the book really is designed specifically with YSA in mind. It's not too long. It's not too big. It's all color. And it's I put all of the ideas up front thinking, okay, I'm catering to like a what's in it for me generation. And so they're going to want to know all that stuff. All the other chapters, I don't expect people to read. It's just more kind of fluff.
Half of your book is not worth reading, is what
you're
saying.
Well, you can if you want, but I know, personally, I would just open it and see, okay, where are the actual ideas? I don't want to read any theory or any philosophies of Family Home Evening. I just want to get down to, okay, what do I need to bring next Monday?
I would like to read Family Home Evening Theory. That sounds like one of those terrible courses I had to take, you know, like for poli sci. Theory of Family Home Evening, FHE 207.
Yeah, so what is the second half of the book that is all theory?
Yes, tell us the terrible part of the book.
No, okay, so there's one chapter on, like,
you
okay.
didn't even bring a copy with you.
You know, and I thought about that.
Because I didn't buy
one
last night, because I figured I could take it for granted that you're my friend, and I would just get one night.
Yeah.
Than one.
Yeah, and, you know, the cross-promotion. We'll talk.
I'm bad.
Yeah, we'll talk. I'm just kidding. No, so the other stuff is just mainly, like, how to keep motivated, how to as the chair yourself, or motivating committee members, or, okay, you've just been called, what the heck are you supposed to do? So it's just all the rest of the stuff, just insight and a lot of stories actually that came out of our ward about people that either met and they got married, or they
the classic
came back
poll.
From an activity. So
come to Institute, come to FHE, you never know who
you'll
meet.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate that.
And my brother met his wife at a family home evening.
Really?
Yes.
Good for
what?
Him.
What?
Yeah, it was a Mormon Idol night, and that's where I got the idea for our ward. It's in the book now. But he was Simon Cowell, and he was on that night, and he was so sarcastic and just so... He said he was just so entertaining, and then she came up to him right after and said, are you always that rude? And they're married. They're expecting their third child.
That's what they asked
me.
And
they're married.
We did that once. I remember the Mormon Idol in the ward. And I admit I was upset that I was not asked to be a judge, probably because I was used to being a judge or host capacity for things like this. And because those who were chosen to be adjudicators were just terrible.
Adjudicators?
I mean, there was no snappy commentaries like, yeah, that was okay. That was all right. Okay. Hey, the best one was, we won't give away his name. His initials are RS.
Oh, yes, I know
and
who that is.
His very dry delivery, his was the best. It was hilarious, everything he would say, because he'd be like, you sounded a little flat through the refrain right there, but he just hammed it up.
And I told him, because he was the Simon of the group, and I told him just to wear a tight black shirt, and he would fit the role. So.
Oh, bless his heart. So
yeah,
there it
so
is.
So there you go. So I gave you a website now that actually does something, so fhebook.com, and you can get it on there.
Let me pull it up real quick.
And it's still, I mean, there's a few font.
It does stuff.
Yeah, there's a few issues with font that I'm realizing that, there's only 5 universal fonts out there for websites. But, that's being worked out. But other than that, you can go use
it.
Oh,
very cool, Jana.
The point
well, good
is
work.
That it does
Thank
stuff.
You.
It is good work. And you should, her book release gala was this past weekend, and it was awesome.
Yeah, launch
does,
party last
does
night.
Does this book address the hard-hitting issues like homosexuality and Glenn Beck?
No.
Also, immigration. Does your book have the answers to immigration?
No, it does not.
What if we threw an FHE for all the illegals?
What if?
It would be a smart way to round them up, wouldn't it? It'd be like, come here, let's talk about things.
Oh, how sweet. You got a nice little book preview on here.
Yeah, and bring your documentation on Monday.
I'm going to page 37.
Oh, 36. You know what? Actually, that's not in there because there's only a few
it's
pages.
She's a tease.
It's a tease.
This is like Google. Okay. This is like Google Books. How dare she?
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, awesome.
Well, good job. So FHE Thanks. Books. So go to, I guess the best way to order it, if you're just listening, is go to FHEbook.com. Yep. There's ordering information on there.
Yes.
Right?
It takes you straight to PayPal.
There you go.
All right.
You can have a book. But well, how much is it retailing for?
$19.99, and then shipping is...
That is a bargain.
$350.
Look at that, folks. For less than $25, you can have the best book you'll ever need for activities, for anything. Ever.
Do it. Thanks. Do it now.
All right, Jana, I'll take that $300 you promised us now.
Okay.
Okay, so so tomorrow or yesterday, well, tomorrow for us, yesterday for you, was the anniversary of Kit Bond's apology. And rescinding the...
Who's Kit Bonds?
Kit Bond was the Missouri governor.
Yes.
Back in 1976.
Woot!
And so he issued an apology and rescinded the extermination order, so you can no longer kill a Mormon in Missouri as of 1976. Which is interesting, because I'm from Missouri myself, and I was fascinated by the fact that...
You might have been murdered had you not been born in 1982.
Well, and obviously it wasn't, like, actively upheld, but still, I mean, it was on the books. It was on the books that the extermination order was there. You know, a couple editorials called it one of the biggest massacres in our nation's history, the driving out of the Mormons from, well, outside the Civil War, of course, but, like, driving them out from Missouri to Illinois, from Illinois, or from Quincy to Nauvoo, from Nauvoo to Utah, and then their continued harassment in Utah until, like, when was it, about 1880, I think, that it all kind of died down.
2010, yeah.
Until 2010. One real quick, just in by way of anniversary, we're going to read the apology, or first, it's like two short paragraphs, so I'll read it real quick.
Please.
Kit Bond in 1976 says, "On this day in history... Whereas, on October 27, 1838, the governor of the state of Missouri, Liburn W. Boggs, signed an order calling for the extermination or expulsion of Mormons from the state of Missouri, and whereas Governor Boggs' order clearly contravened the rights to life, liberty, property, and religious freedom as guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States, as well as the Constitution of the state of Missouri, whereas, in this bicentennial year, as we reflect on our nation's heritage, the exercise of religious freedom is without question one of the basic tenets of our free democratic republic. Now, therefore, I, Christopher S. Bond, governor of the state of Missouri, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the state of Missouri, do hereby order as follows, expressing on behalf of all Missourians our deep regret for the injustice and undue suffering which was caused by the 1838 order, I hereby rescind Executive Order Number 44, dated October 27th. In witness, I have hereunto set my hand and cause to be affixed the great seal of the beautiful state of Missouri in the city of Jefferson. Signed, Christopher Bond." So, good times.
I like that I don't have to die.
It's good to remember. I mean, it's crazy to think that it was until 1976 that this was still legal, but... Yeah, it's a good anniversary for us Mormons.
It is a good anniversary. Look at this, man. We've got anniversary of this, Pioneer Day, our 25th show. It's a trifecta of power this weekend, it seems.
I so hate Pioneer Day. Did we already talk about this, how stupid Pioneer Day is?
Why do you hate Pioneer Day?
I think it's just this silly holiday that exists only in this, like, only in Mormon communities does it have any meaning. And it's such a huge holiday. Like, it's on par with the 4th of July, if you've ever been out there during the 24th of July. And it's just crazy to me. I'm like, why? Why does it matter? So we don't celebrate the day we went into Nauvoo. We don't celebrate the day we left New York. We don't celebrate the day
we came into Missouri. Because we left
Missouri, obviously.
Once we got to Utah, we stopped. Much like the Great Salt Lake, there was no outflow. We just showed up.
Missouri is infinitely more meaningful to the Mormon community than is Utah in the long run. And so why don't we have a Pioneer Day for when we entered or exited from Missouri?
So you want to celebrate the exit from Missouri?
It would be more meaningful than an entrance into a Salt Lake.
You just say that because you're from Missouri.
No, I say it because I'm not from
Missouri.
This
is state pride right here. I agree. Pioneer Day can be a... Last night, even people were like, "You gonna go the steak Pioneer Day thing?" And I was just like, "No,
you're not gonna go." I gotta go like in 2 hours. So.
You have to go because of your calling.
I gotta do the tug of war and the stick pulling.
I don't have to set an example for anyone.
I went to that last year. I was very disappointed to realize that it was like an activity for everybody, like a bunch of families. And so I showed up as like the single guy. And everybody's like, so did you bring anything for the potluck? Are you kidding me?
Only reason I'm compelled to go is because our stake has been building a baseball field next to one of our buildings. Because apparently we have a bunch of land right there. So we built a baseball field.
And did you know that every stake is actually entitled to have their own field?
Really?
Yeah, I just learned this recently. Or
is
you
that
could
real
look
or is that
Holy
an
herb- Fetch.
Yeah.
How is that true?
Where did you learn this?
Someone told me recently.
Someone
Incredible
told you?
Source, I can't remember. Uh-huh. But yeah, so it's the
like
opening day.
Holy, what was it? Holy Flip.
Holy Fetch.
You already forgot Holy the fetch. Name of the...
Yeah, every well, stake 20 minutes can ago. Have their own baseball field.
That's awesome. And is it only baseball? What if they're Europeans? Can they have soccer?
Maybe.
Can they have a full-scale soccer field? Which would be awesome because they don't have space in Europe. They always have their little ghetto soccer courts outside, if you're mm-hmm. lucky, when they have their own standing buildings. But
so, yeah, I think you should go, Jeff. I'm going to personally invite you to come.
Mm, too much to do today.
And you can eat a lot of fried chicken and corn and stand on that field.
I don't care about Pioneer Day at all. It's like, whoop-de-doo. Okay, this is the one time I cared about Pioneer Day. When I worked at Deseret Book for that stretch of my life when I was there, I was always very upset that I felt like Deseret Book was trying to, for lack of a better term, Utahify the entire company. In that their promotional things were always for very Utah-centric stuff, which makes sense because the overwhelming majority of their customers, of course, are in Utah. But and I'm sure their agreements are just company-wide. You know, they don't limit them to Utah. It's just a general blanket corporate thing. So there would be stuff like brochures to get Zions Bank account. And we're here in Southern California. There is no Zions Bank anywhere.
Or ZCMI.
Or, yeah, ZCMI stuff. The one straw that broke the camel's back was when we were supposed to give away this promotional thing for Lagoon to get discounted tickets to Lagoon in Southern California. Or tickets to the Salt Lake Bees. And we're just sitting here like, we have Disneyland. We have the Angels. No one cares about
this.
Yeah,
we have a major league team. We're not going to the Bees.
And the funny thing with the Bees is they're the Angels AAA affiliate. So we figured they could work something out with the corporate office at least. But anyway, that got very annoying. And we often tried to shirk those things and not put them up. But then corporate would get very mad and slap us on the wrist and say, no, no, no. Put up the Lagoon stuff. And we're like, are you freaking kidding me?
Wait, we have Raging Waters, Wild Rivers. Give us stuff for that.
Just Lagoon, and Lagoon's fine. No one's going to go there, even though I did use the Deseret Book discount.
All
go
right,
to
all right.
The point is, I get mad because they make us do all this pro-Utah stuff. And what happens on July 24th in California? In Utah, it's a state holiday. In Utah, they close all the Deseret Books. In Utah, they get a day off. What did I do on
Monsters.
July 24th when I worked there? I just
worked. As a,
and I'm sitting here like, why isn't Sherry Do working today? Why am I working? This is stupid.
No.
Fatherless all children. All
right. Carry on.
That's all. It is my turn, right? All right, quick article as we're winding down here in our final minutes. This comes from the great website By Common Consent, which is full of all kinds of Mormon blogs and thought and what have you. Encourage you to visit it in general. A guy named Scott B., so he chooses to remain nameless, wrote a great article called Gospel Principles Again and Again and Again. And in this, he talks about what he feels is the problem of having the fact that we're doing the Gospel Principles manual. You know, this year for the next 2 years, I forget.
For the next
2 years. For the next 2 years, we're doing this for Relief Society and Elders Quorum, and they still use it for Gospel Principles. And, of course, he has a problem because he said he's a ward missionary and he's a teacher in Elders Quorum, so he has to teach out of it for 2 of the 3 hours on Sundays.
Basically. Dude, I just had to do that last week.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's weird. So it's fine. So he's got that beef with it. But then, that's personal. But then I get some of his other arguments here, that he feels like it can be a horrible choice. I'll say right here, a horrible choice of material for investigators and new members. While he completely agrees in principle with the basic idea behind having Gospel Principles, he questions whether much critical thinking or planning has gone down, because it really doesn't. People tend to just like read out of the manual when they do these classes. And then also that the content of Gospel Principles is sequential. I mean, it does go in order. It tries to keep it to the basics. But at the same time, like the discussions, it does kind of work from the first lesson of the basic idea of Heavenly Father's children all the way through the year to build upon stuff.
Right.
And that being the problem, it doesn't work for investigators because they come into a Gospel Principles class, and if someone is randomly showing up in July or something like that, I'm trying to find the paragraph where he talks about this.
Dude, I've totally had
people
come.
You know what I mean?
Come.
It could be like they have this crazy lesson about like, being the, Lord, remember, the Lord's covenant people. And they're like, what
no,
the heck
I brought
is
some
all
people
about?
To I brought some friends to church and they got the second coming. And I was just like, all right, I mean that's great, but like seriously, what are we really teaching here with this? I mean, how are we fixing this?
That's true. And I don't know, it's fine with Relief Society and Elders Quorum. I get that, especially because if you have investigators generally, like even in the singles ward, they wouldn't be going to one of those. You tend to have some sort of a, well, I don't know. I guess the girls would. For us, they get to go to Aaronic Priesthood in the singles ward for the few of them that we have, and which is nice because they intentionally cater that class to it being, you know, the preparatory priesthood. You know, it's toned down quite a bit from Elders Quorum. Things aren't taken as a given as much as they would be.
Right.
So, or axiomatic is the appropriate adjective if you want to use that, friend. Axiomatic. It means obvious or taken as a given. It was axiomatic that blah, blah, blah. I learned that when I studied for the GRE. I can tell you lots of other great words if you're interested.
On the flip side, though, I know we've been studying the prophets for how many years now? It is nice to get back to the basics. Well, and but I know what he's saying, though.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
one
yeah.
Any given Sunday, you show up and you're talking about the priesthood organization.
I feel like back to the basics for... I like it fine for Elders Quorum and Relief Society. But as far as... and it's funny because it's been the go-to book for the investigator class, but I get it. I think there's a deficiency there a bit because we don't start teaching members in January. We're not Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, we don't start them in January, work them through for a whole year, and then when they're deemed worthy, let them move on. We have a, you know, it's, I don't know, Al, what else do you think about this?
That was really my whole thing was like, you know, the danger is really in people just popping in the middle of stuff because it's built to go sequentially, but, you know, you people just show, yeah, you bring somebody to church, you're thinking any week and it should be, like, if it's a gospel principles, I would prefer to see like a 16 lesson bit where you could kind of hop in any time and not feel out of place, where it was just going through material that was essentially the missionary discussions, right? But maybe a little bit more in depth and in a conversation format.
Well, there's some words that do a preach my gospel course, and instead they follow that instead. And I saw one guy in my BYU ward who was called as ward mission leader, and he decided instead, I don't think it's said you're supposed to use that manual, but I think it's falls in the realm of, as a ward mission leader, it's at your discretion what you want to do for the teaching track.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of the time that does fall under the Sunday school president, but I've never met a Sunday school president who has tried to have a lot of oversight with the investigator class. And he geared a whole class around preach my gospel instead. He felt that was the most effective. And this guy instead talks here as well because he talked about it with his ward mission leader. And instead they have created lessons ready to eat, is what they call them, for use when they actually have living, breathing investigators in the classroom. Because he says, like his ward, you know, they have investigators every now and then. But yeah, it's
right.
Weird because they just drop in. So instead they've created other smaller whatever lessons that are more pertinent. And when they actually have investigators, they ditch the lesson they would have planned and they do that instead.
See, I think that's a great
idea.
The
problem with that is it would require preparation from the ward mission and, you know, it doesn't happen. Am I right?
Well, but anything to keep from that moment of like you bringing your friend in and they're like, all right, now we're going to talk about the gathering of Israel. And as the Bering Strait comes up out of the depths, and you're like, whoa, whoa. I mean, that's we believe that and all. Like, that'll happen, sure, but, like, with time, people, with time.
Well, like anything, a lot of it has to do with just the way you tailor it. I mean, I've been there. I've been the ward mission leader before, and I've been there trying to make these classes work for investigators. And you can make it work from the Gospel Principles Manual. It's just the approach that you take. You just can't come into every class with the assumption that everyone remembers anything else you've talked about. Basically, you have to treat every single lesson as if it is their first exposure, not just to the material itself, but to a lot of concepts in general. And you have to go out of your way to make sure everything is understood. So it can be done, but this is a great little article. I hope you'll all read it. I thought it was pretty amusing, too, and it raises a lot of valid points. I mean, I fully trust that the prophet, you know, has things under control, but at the same time, there's always room for improvement. That's how the Lord works. We assess things temporally and the way we understand stuff and empirically, and we take that to the Lord and see what can be done better. So we'll see. I think so. Should we move on to our just random stupid news items so we can
let me start real quick. I just found a random stupid news item while we were chit-chatting. The church has a new beta site for their LDS scriptures, which is sweet. And the thing that I like about it is that they're kind of moving in a direction that I've seen a need for a long time, where they have included in these notes, you sign in with your LDS account, off your, you know, you have to have the membership record and everything, But you have a My Study notebook, so it's in the right margin. While you're viewing a chapter, you can start making notes and associating content with it. Which eventually, like, I've actually built a couple of versions of an app that lets you associate, essentially build in your own footnotes and associate, like, video and audio content. And if the church takes this to their, like, if they move to that direction, then I will love them forever, and we can just knock that out. But it's really cool, so go check it out. A fun little nifty.
Now, what about other things? What about this Twitter girl that we found last week, right?
Oh, dude, Twitter girl is amazing. Amazing. But before that, so Mormon Radio hit a million listeners during Pioneer Day, first time ever, which is great.
Is this Mormon Radio or is this...
Well, so it's a radio station that does all, like, Mormon music and stuff. So Janice Cap Perry type, you know, that kind of stuff. And they did a, like, live following of Pioneer Day. But anyway, Jeff and I were talking about this earlier. This is big news because this is our genre, essentially, that we're building up. You know, that's one of the things that we've talked about a lot is we're trying to establish the LDS listener genre.
Your LDS radio.
It's very similarly paralleled. So
yeah,
cool.
With pictures
very
of
cool
the 12 same LDS artists who have been around forever. I see a little Peter Breinholt there.
Hillary Weeks.
Oh, we got it going on. We got some Julie Diaz.
I love that Hillary Duff.
We got some Alex Bouye, English and Black and Mormon. This man is like our. Of course, he's in Motab.
He's so entertaining.
He's one of the token Black guys in Motab because they have to allow a few.
He spoke at a mid singles conference a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
What were some of the other ones, Jeff? What were some of our other randoms?
I don't know if there's anything as pertinent as that. Or Twitter. The Twitter chick is pretty dang.
Okay, so we found...
Oh, I'll run through this briefly. Oh. Jana, tell us about the BYU water fight in a minute.
Oh, yeah. So apparently, in order to boost enrollment for spring-summer at BYU, they wanted to do a...
Come have a water fight. You'll want
to
go here.
Yeah, they
college.
Wanted to attempt to break the world's largest water balloon fight record. And so they wanted to have 120,000 water balloons. And this actually, now that I'm reading it, this was written before the event actually happened. But so basically the record is 3,902 participants and 119,000 balloons that were at the University of Kentucky.
Woo.
And so the BYU was trying to beat that by 4,000 students and 120 balloons. I don't really know what happened, but we got to talk to our friend Devin Moyes, who used to be in our ward. He was part of a breaking this, apparently.
I saw it going on Facebook, and I have to say, breaking records. Anyway, if I was 14, I'd be much more apt to participate in things like this, where it's like, we should all totally show up and play water balloon fight. And then what if we broke the record and got that back from Kentucky?
So they called it the Cougar Cool Down. And here's a quote from Lori Gardner. She's the manager of spring summer enrollment. She said, "We're trying to create a culture for spring and summer. We decided we would offer a monumental activity that would keep students talking for months and hopefully
talking for months.
Do you remember that one time?
And hopefully, exactly. And hopefully help others to want to stick around and see what happens for future spring summers." So, yeah, this is just an attempt to...
What's going to happen next year? Is it going to be a paintball war?
I'm going to stay for spring and summer now. Yeah,
I'm going to be here. I can't... What will they have next? What? This school. Are they going to feed us all Twinkies? Maybe BYUSA will give us free hot chocolate.
All right. So,
that's the only thing they can do.
Here's
another quote. This is from... Okay. Well, it's just from one of the students. And she said, "This shows we can have just as much as fun as any other university. There's tons of fun stuff to do. Why not stay in Provo if you can?"
Just because we're Mormon doesn't mean we can't have a good time.
By throwing water balloons. No, I take issue with this because BYU's code explicitly says that you cannot throw projectiles at one another. How dare they make an exception? Do you know how many people have actually gotten in trouble for getting in snowball fights during the wintertime at BYU? And then they dare allow this atrocity of just throwing water balloons recklessly at people.
Good
hypocrisy.
Times. All right,
I bet
so
BYUSA was behind it.
So Jenna Reese gets a special shout out from us here on TWIM this week because Jenna Reese
is a visionary.
I'm not sure. I haven't been able to figure out what her motive is and what she does, but she's taking a chapter a week from the Old Testament so far. Maybe she has other books that she's done, but like I'm looking at Samuel, 2 Samuel right now. And she's just going chapter by chapter and like summarizing in sort of a hip hop fashion, I guess. So
I don't think it's very hip-hop.
Jeff and I are
going
to take turns. We're going to read a couple of these to you.
Oh, okay. I got to find.
So here we have 2 Samuel 18. Shakespearean tragedy. Loyalist Jen Job defeats rebels, staking abs through the heart. What happened to Deal Gently? Twibble?
Okay, I've got one here. Joshua 14. Conquests over and land distribution begins. Loyal Caleb schmoozes old war buddy Josh, rewarded with coveted Hebron. Sweet deal.
Chickens come home to roost. Abs conspires versus Dave, Prince. Vote for Absalom signs and rises in polls. 90% approval rating. Twibble?
Josh 9. Foiled. Clever Hivites trick Josh into treaty he's forced to honor. He can't kill them, but he can make him chop wood. So there. Ah, this woman.
Dave won't touch a hair on Ab's head if he'll only return home, which is saying something because Abs is an extra hairy guy. 2 Samuel 14.
Okay, I like this. So I wanted to get into the books of Moses because I figured they'd get a little bit funnier. Here's Deuteronomy 33. Line up to get your deathbed blessing here. All 12 tribes except Simeon. He's Desaparecido. Told to live long and prosper.
Prophet Nathan raps to Dave. Remember the gangsta who plucked a berry then iced a guy? You the man, but not in a good way. 2 Samuel 12.
All right. We're out of time. So that's it. We're done.
So brilliant.
We're done.
Okay, so anyway, have a great week.
Al, thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate it.
Bye, Al.
I love that we ended with Jenna Reese. That's awesome.
And Jana McPherson, author of, I'm just going to call
There's
it
There's No Place Like Home, .. evening, exclamation mark.
At FHEbook.com. Please buy it. Great book. This is a great work for her. Thanks a lot for appearing with
thanks
us today.
Thanks for having
nice
me. It's been
you.
Fun.
And everyone, this has been another scintillating edition of This Week in Mormons. May peace be unto all of you. Not...
What? From the shadow of the Rocky Mountains.